then he will pour out blessings that we can't contain. He promised that. That's what he said he would do. If we will obey him, he will bless us. So tonight, as we get into the service, I'd like to open it up in prayer. So if everybody would bow your heads. Pastor Jimmy, would you stand up and open the service in prayer, please? Expects God to do something tonight. Anybody? All right. Some of us. Few of us. Well, for those who are expecting, God will do something. Those who aren't, well, when you wake up when we're done, you'll wonder what happened. So who's expecting God to do something? You should expect something every time you come into the house of the Lord. Every time we gather. I think what the Bible says is where two or three are gathered. Where two or three are gathered, he's here in the midst. And when God's on the scene, things happen. So I'm fully expecting God to move tonight. We've got some good singers. We've got a good preacher. We've got a good congregation. Most of all, we've got a good Lord and a good Spirit. So I want to read one scripture to you tonight. One chapter. Jimmy said, help us just to praise him. So I'd like to read Psalms 150. Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the sound of the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Bobby, would you lead us? Everybody stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if God gives you further testimony, don't hesitate. Stand up. Does anybody have a word for the Lord right now? If not, Chris, would you get a song?
All right, you guys got to help me out now. Get your hymnal, turn to page 55. You're going to have to sing loud because I can't. 55.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the sailors shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yonder I'll be there. Talk of all his wonders.
names on that roll. You've got something to look forward to. As we read last night, God will separate the sheep from the goats, and to those of you who are saved, he shall say to them, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Something to look forward to. Something to be happy about. Anybody got a word for the Lord? Anybody else?
I'm thankful that I went to the altar and found grace.
Yeah, amen.
I'm pleased to be here tonight. Robin Clark from Tennessee, writing me tonight. I'm still talking about it. I remember another church, and I thought, well, you know, I think I'll live. I just appreciate the Lord's grace.
Amen. Yeah. Bless you, buddy. Bless you. Somebody else.
Lady that lives at my, the end of my district.
That's, God is good like that. Has a way of working things out. Anybody else? Cindy. Somebody else. Yeah. Anybody else? If not, we'll have the famous Gold Town Gospel Travelers come. The altar is always open. The floor is always open. The Lord speaks to you, speak to us. Gentlemen.
Famous or infamous?
World famous.
Good evening. I want to do something before we get started because Robbie talked about this last night. About groups coming in, and we always, when we were singing about a year and a half ago, it's been a while ago, when we sang, we always pray before we go sing.
Amen.
Except for one time. We didn't pray, and it didn't turn out too well, so we're going to blame it on that. We didn't get to pray tonight because we was kind of rushing around here trying to get things hooked up. So I want to pray before we sing, okay? All right. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us tonight. It's been a while since we sang, and it's good to be together, but we just pray, Lord, you anoint what we have and give us the best we can do, and just bless, we pray. We just pray that you'll be lifted up and your name will be glorified in all things that we do or may say tonight. But be in the service tonight, we pray. As J.R. comes and may be a little nervous, we pray that you touch him and anoint him tonight. May this be a good service we be in. May the Holy Spirit have right away tonight and have freedom to roll from heart to heart. And may you be blessed, and may one somebody that's straight away could come back tonight, or somebody don't know you, get to know you tonight. But Father, we just invite you into service, we pray. In Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. We haven't sang for, like I said, for a while. We practiced Friday night over in the gymnasium. And I was thinking, I said, the last time we practiced over there, it was super cold. It was just in the instruction stages, and it was but I forgot that we were singing, and somebody walked in and gave us the up sign. It was JT come in, and just that encouragement that he always gives. But I forgot about that. But that was it was good. But anyway, we're going to just sing a little bit, and you know how it works around here. If you got a testimony, we want you to give it, and just let the Lord lead. Okay. Stan talked about this in his testimony. So much to be thankful for, and how one word can change the whole meaning of the verse. I never seen that, never read that. But thankful in and not for. And that's good. That's good. I appreciate that. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, or sing about tonight. So much to thank you for.
Thank him for
Brother Rob said, famous Gold Town Gospel Travelers. There's no fame in us, only in the one that we serve. That's Jesus. As Brother Tony said, pray for us because we practiced, and someone said, it's like riding a bicycle, you never forget. Well, have you seen that commercial where that bicycle is going down the road and the tire goes flat? Well, that was us. Okay. Branch, Lord, and you are the tree of life, and without you to hold on to, I'd wither up and die. And you supply my every need, and I grow in your life. Your word is the bread, and it keeps me fed, cause I'm clinging to the vine.
I'm clinging to the vine, the only one of its kind, holding to the everlasting lifeline,
standing on the promises that will stand the test of time.
The seeds I sow will only grow if I'm clinging to the vine.
I am firmly planted in a love I know is true, and I can do anything as long as it's through you. Now when I reach out my hands to those who are blind, I pray they will see your love in me, cause I'm clinging to the vine.
I'm clinging to the vine, the only one of its kind, holding to the everlasting lifeline,
standing on the promises that will stand the test of time.
The seeds I sow will only grow if I'm clinging to the vine.
I said the seeds I sow will only grow if I'm clinging to the vine.
Say, on this road for glory land.
Well, I can see.
I can see the lights of home.
I can see.
Road for glory land.
In that fair land,
in that fair land,
I'll take my stand.
It's good to be
on this road for glory land. Glory land.
Y'all's turn now. Y'all got a word after that? Surely. 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 Surely.
Surely the Lord's been good to you. Somebody else.
Particular year with everything that's going on, it'll happen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's been busy for me, as Greg said. Kay and I were talking today about how, you know, you ask the Lord to bless your business. You know, we have business, and we ask the Lord to bless it. And she said, whenever I asked him to bless it, I just didn't think it would be in this big of a manner. I said, but that's God for you. You know, you ask for something, and he'll give you way more than you ever asked for. You know, all you do is ask him, but, you know, it's really good. We are thankful for what we have. I went down to Tazewell, Virginia today and sold a few generators down there to a guy. And owned a business down there, and real nice fella. That's one of the good things Kay and I were talking about, one of the nice things about the business we have. We get to meet a lot of really nice people, a lot of great Amen. People out there. But I was pretty impressed with this guy because, you know, we struck our deal and ended up selling three generators. And he cut me a check, and he owns a company down there, a pretty good-sized company, has several hundred employees. And he handed me a check and looked down at the check, and the little emblem on his check is a set of praying hands. And I just thought, now that right there, that's a guy that takes a stand for what he believes in. You know, his company check, not his personal check, his company check. He has a set of praying hands on it. You know, good Christian man. I thought, now, that is taking a stand right there. You know, letting everybody he works with, everybody he deals with in day-to-day business know where he stands with the Lord. And I'm appreciative of that. We get to meet a lot of good people, and there's a few times I've actually got to have church in some homes. It's really good. You know, you go into them and talk about how good God is and how he takes care of us and stuff. But yeah, I really appreciate it, and spend a lot of miles on the road. So if you want to pray for something, you pray for my safety, because I got a truck out there that's a little over 2 years old, and I got 107,000 miles on it. So I spend a lot of time out there on the road, and y'all just pray that God will keep watching over me.
Amen. Amen.
And I rode with him too, so I know you need to pray for him. We're going to do this for Audrey. We're going to do this for you. And Austin, just remember, we did this before you did. We had this before you made it a hit, so we're going to sing it. Pause, man.
The Lord said, stand up, Paul, and wipe off your tears. You must preach the gospel for many long years. Go down to Damascus, a street that's called Straight. My servant will tell you the road you must take. I counted on Adam, I counted on Cain. I counted on Joseph, but he was the same. I counted on Judas, but he proved untrue. So go tell the world, Paul, I'm counting on you. Days have gone by, Lord, and still I can't see. Well, here comes Ananias with a message for me. He said, Brother Paul, the Lord in the sky has sent me to heal you and open your eyes. You'll preach to the Gentiles. On the desert.
Austin Clipper singing this.
Yes. On the desert. Be shipwrecked at sea. But go right on preaching the gospel for me. Why I counted on Adam. I counted on Cain. I counted on Jonah. But he was the same.
Why count it on Judas? But he was untrue. So go tell the world, Paul, I'm counting on you. So go tell the world, church, he's counting on you.
Now, I had the words right in front of me, too.
You may not believe this. You may not believe this, but that's exactly the way we practiced it Friday. Exactly. He forgot the exact same words.
Randy, bail us out.
Amen. Oh,
the only fire would be.
Yes, amen. He loves us in spite of ourselves.
There is a place somewhere below I've heard and read about, and they say that people when souls who turn the Lord away. They say the fire burns all night because there is no day. But I've escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul, and not one hair Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Eternal life was given me when I His precious blood and cleansed me from all sin. He left a spark that satisfies my hungry soul's desire, and the tiny flame that's burning now will keep me from the fire. But I've escaped that awful place when saved my soul, and not one hair upon my head will into that place go. No, I won't have to worry since the Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart.
Yeah, we're after that. Well, over here. That's where we're at in the B.
Same place.
Before I sing that, let me just tell you a little bit about what I don't have enough time to tell you everything the Lord has been doing for me since we've been gone, but he's been taking care of me, and he's been watching over and keeping me, and just recently, I'll share this with you, back during the snowstorm there a few days back, we was out clearing roads and stuff, trying to get trees out of the way so power companies could get up and put lines back up, and we was working up in the head of South Park Road on a halfway up a hill clearing a tree, and And I had looked down at the bottom of the hill while we was dragging these trees and throwing them over the hill and cutting them and stuff. And I saw a motorcycle sitting down there. And when we're talking 8 inches of snow on the ground, I'm thinking, what's a silly motorcycle doing out in this snow? And I didn't give no thought. I thought, surely he's not going to try and come up this hill. We got trucks in the way and lights are flashing and trees across the road and everything. And I turned around, and me and another guy was working with us. There was three of us. One was cutting. And anyways, we went to drag me and this guy. Ricky Mundy went to drag a limb across the road to throw it over the hill, and just as we both turned, the motorcycle went flying right by. I mean, it was within inches of us. But God had an angel there, and He protected us. And I come home and I told Tina. I said, I know you was praying for me today. I said somebody was, because I said several things happened that day. It wasn't within just 5 minutes of after the motorcycle blew past us, and he didn't hit us. A tree limb come down on the power wires right over top of us, shorted the wire out, it blew and fell, the wire did, and hit the road about 15, 20 feet away from us. And God had an angel protecting me. And so I know that He's taking care of me. I know that. And since we've been gone, He's opening doors. He's teaching me things that I never knew, Rob. I thought I knew quite a bit. Being here at Goldtown for 20 plus years, you know, you just can't help but learn something from all of the talent that God has placed here in this church. All of the Sunday school teachers, all of the preachers, all of the children of God who stand and testify, and all those things I've heard and listened and seen and witnessed over the past 20 years. You know, I thought they just couldn't be much more to learn about the Lord, but there's so much more, people. There is so much more. And I heard it said, Goldtown, you're a blessed church. You are. And I'm realizing that even more now that God has me in another position somewhere. And don't ever take it for granted. How many piano players do we have here in the church tonight? Just raise your hand. How many people can play 1, 2, 3? Where I go to church, we don't even have a piano player. Bass guitar players, there's probably 3 or 4 of you here can do that. We don't have a bass guitar player. I think me and Tina's running the choir off. When we joined the choir down there, there was 12. Now we're down to 10. But the Lord blesses. And He does. And I don't know really what the Lord wants me to say here, but other than we all have trials, we all have problems. The best way I can put it, I guess, is the way Pastor Tony Saunders puts it. We're just a bunch of jacked up people living in a jacked up world. Now, when I got saved, nothing in the book anywhere told me that life is going to be a bed of roses. And if there's any perfect Christians here tonight, I'd like for you to stand up, because I'd love to just hug your neck. But there's no perfect Christians. We're living in an imperfect body, an old Adam body that's just full of sin, that all the time, all it wants to think about and all it wants to do is sin. And we struggle with that, because we know once we've got the Lord in our heart, we know to do good, but yet what we want to do is not good. And it is. It's a tough life to be a Christian, but you can't do it on your own. You got to trust in God. And that's what I'm learning more and more every day, is that He didn't just save me and then set me to the side or set me up on a mantle or something. He saved me and He keeps me. And I heard it said in a testimony this evening, someone chose to come here tonight. And I watched Charles Stanley preach here a few weeks back. And he preached on, we're in the condition we're in today, Brother Rob, because of choices that we make. Now, you can take that from as high as the whole world is in the condition it's in because of the choices that the world has made, down to our country. We're in the shape we're in because of the choices our country has made. down to the state, to right down to the personal level. I'm in the condition I'm in because of the choices I've made. And God gives us those choices each and every day. We can choose. We can choose Him, or we can choose not Him. And that's what makes this life, for me, I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm not going to preach to nobody but other than Frank. That's what makes it so hard for Frank, is having this Adam body, but choosing God every time. And some of you know that I wrestled with going away from this church for several months. The Lord had told me, He spoke to me right up there in that room, sound room right up there where the brothers sat, and He spoke to me one morning and told me, Frank, it's time to leave. And for 6, 7, 8 months, I wrestled with that because this was my church. This was where I just felt my whole life. This was where I was going to die, and I was going to be laid out right there. And all of my friends and family was going to come by and say, that's not Frank, he's already gone. But wasn't God's plan. His plan is for me to grow, and I'm growing. He's revealing some things to me. At first, about the first 4 or 5 months of going to the church down there in South Charleston, I kept asking the Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? And one night, on a Wednesday night, Bible study, we showed up. It was me and Tina and the pastor. It was three of us. And he came in the door, and he read my mind, and he looked at me, and he said, are you really sure God told you to come here? And I was just asking myself that same question. But before that night was over, the Lord blessed me with a good lesson. I guess I'm saying all this to say this. Church, keep your ears tuned to the Lord. Listen. We never know what He's got for us to do. The whole world don't revolve around Charleston or Goldtown or Parkersburg. The whole world revolves around Jesus. And if God's telling you to do something, don't do like I did. Don't fight Him for months and be miserable. Just do it. Just do it. He saved me. And like I said, He didn't promise me that it was going to be easy. But He promised me that He'd always be there. And He'll lead me and guide me, as long as I keep my hand in His. And I was talking about Charles Stanley. I'll get to that, and then I'll get to singing this song. His message that I was wanting to tell you about was on choices and the choices we make and how we need to choose the Lord. And daily, I'm trying my best to choose Him. And He'll watch over us and keep us. Even whenever we feel like we're all alone, He'll be right there with us. I think it's time to shut up and sing. While traveling life's highway, abound. It falls around us with sin all around. The Good Shepherd watches and cares for His sheep, removing the dangers. His hold He will keep. His kind, gentle hand has shown me the way, protecting and leading from day unto day. Without His direction, oh, where would I be?
good shepherd leads me through snares I can't see. My youth filled with folly, I recklessly trod, rejecting my teaching and straying from God. But somewhere in the shadows, the good shepherd stood, and in mercy as only he could. His kind, gentle hand had shown me the way, protecting and leading from day on to day. Without his direction, oh, where would I be? The good shepherd leads me through snares I can't see. His kind, gentle hand has shown me the way, protecting and leading from day on to day. Without his direction, oh, where would I be? The good shepherd leads me through snares I can't see. Yes, the good shepherd leads me through snares I can't see.
We'll finish up with this one. I'm looking forward to this young man to preach again. He's doing a great job, and the Lord's blessed him. So that's what I came for. I don't know about you all, but I came to hear J.R. So we're going to finish up with this one.
Amen.
And I am just so thankful that without his
door. Amen. Accept it and go on. Amen.
Many times.
You might want to bring that up a little bit.
Yeah, get us a chord there. We won't.
I don't know, but I don't want that one. That's awfully low. Oh, well. This is definitely the wrong time of year to be singing that low.
E flat.
E flat.
What is it?
Many times in my childhood, when I traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. But my father.
Right, you're right. Let's try it again.
Many times in my childhood, when I traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip around me, and gently he'd say, "My child, we are going home. Go." Hold me here. For I caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I am going home. Now the twilight is fading, and the day soon shall end. I get homesick the farther I go. But my Father has led me each step of the way, and now I am going home. Going home. I'm going home. There's nothing to
anybody else? Can you hear me? I can't tell. Is my mic, is it on? Yeah. All right. Good evening. For those of you who don't know, I'm J.R. Strickland. I was told probably early this spring that my dad was on the junior, was a board member, and he told me that they voted that I was going to speak one of the nights. And the first thing I thought was, wow, revival. I'm speaking at revival. Because, you know, I mean, any Sunday night is, you know, it's sacred, you know, it's church. But once you think about revival, you think, you know, that's a really, 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 really big deal. And I know I can't do it, but I can do it with God. I'd like you guys to open up to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. last night listening to Rob's, he said he had a few different names for his message. Well, I thought, well, I better get a name for my message. So the one that I kind of thought of was, it kind of says it all. It's here it is. And in chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I was thinking, why would you want to pay with sin whenever God gives free salvation? You know, especially in today's economy, if you think about things, if somebody's going to give you, make you pay for something really cheap and something that you're going to not end up liking, and then somebody says they're going to give you something that you know is going to fulfill you the way that you know that only God can, which one are you going to accept? And I think that if people really thought about it like this, like the way I'm going to explain, then it really opened their eyes. And so this is how I'm going to put it. You have to see two people walk up to you. One of them says, and this is kind of a, I don't think this will happen too many times tonight, but I make a lot of sports references. So a guy walks up to you and he says, "For $80, I'll give you a ticket to see the Mountaineers be a disappointment every single week." And then another guy walks up to you, and let's say that this is a legitimate deal. You know, he's not, no strings attached or anything. And he says, "I'm going to give you a 50-yard line ticket to every Alabama Crimson Tide game this year." Those of you that know college football, does anybody want to tell me which one of those is the more valuable offer? I'm not hating on the Mountaineers. I love the Mountaineers, but we won't go there. The one that's the more valuable offer is the Alabama ticket. And the sad thing is that people are picking Satan over God. And, you know, people say, "I'm not picking Satan." There's only two choices. If you don't pick God, there's only one other one you can pick, and that's Satan. There is no, you know, neither answer. And how often do you get a gift that on the outside looks like it's great, looks like it's, you know, it's shining, it looks like it's fun, but after a while, that shine and fun wears off? And that's like what not accepting Jesus feels like. After the fact, if anybody's ever, you know, God tells you to come up and get saved, you don't do it. After the fact, you feel horrible. But if you accept Jesus, I thought it was kind of funny, but it's like the Energizer Bunny. He keeps giving and going and going and going. It doesn't run out. And if you guys will open up to Matthew chapter 27, this is kind of the crucifixion kind of story. And I'm going to read it all, and then I'll explain to it, go back to it at the end. I'm going to start at chapter 27, verse 25. Starting at verse 25, it says, "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail Jesus, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after they that had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might fulfill which was spoken by the prophet, that said, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots.' And sitting down there, they watched him there, and set up over his head the accusation written, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" And then I'm going to jump up to verse 50, and it says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those that were things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And, you know, this is the crucifixion story. And if you paid really close attention, what I kind of get from that, and you can get different things from different verses just from how you read them, is the people that he were dying for didn't appreciate the fact that he was dying for them. And, you know, now, honestly, I don't know how I would have been back then, because you don't have the Bible and all these different things. But now we know, you know, Jesus was the Son of God, and he died on the cross for him. But that's what I got from that. And I read that passage because I'm going to do something here in a second. And I need my helpers to come up. I need Rob, Aaron, Jimmy, and Al. And then I need some more people. And these are some of the people. Some of these didn't know that they were being volunteered, and some of them did. So I need my dad, Isaac Koontz, Tony Lewis, Terry Haddix, Misty Peck, Debbie Bailey, and Brian Miller to come up. And then I also need Stan. And Adam, if you'll, Stan, do you need help getting up? Adam, will you go help? Just see if he needs help up the steps. Okay, I need Rob to come over here with me. Yeah. And then I need Aaron and Al over here. Now, they all know what they're going to do. I also need Jeremy Kreitz to come up here for me. I need you guys, if I called your name and I said that you may or may not have been volunteered, I need you to sit up here in the second row of the choir loft. Please. Yeah, you're good. Hand him to him and then he'll take him. Where's Jeremy? Jeremy's counting because he knows what we're about to do, and I don't think he's very happy about it. Okay, Jeremy, I need you to sit down right here on the floor.
This is embarrassing.
Jimmy, I need you to come over here with me. And this is something that we did at church camp, and it may have just been meant more to me because I was a kid, but I think that if you really pay attention to what it is and to what it's saying and to what it represents, then I think it's going to mean a lot to you too. And what we're going to have Jeremy do. So I'm going to go asking each one of these people if they want a donut. And they're going to say yes or no. And Jeremy's going to do some sit-ups, so you get to see that. How's it going, Brian?
It's going really well.
Brian, would you like a donut?
Absolutely.
Jeremy, I need you to do 5 sit-ups so Brian can have a donut. Yeah, I want Jimmy to count him.
1, 2, 3, 4, 4.5. Five.
Rob, hit it. Say Peyton.
Take a while.
Every time Rob hits that, that means it was paid in full. Rob, if you could say, hit it hard and say paid in full.
Paid in full.
Tony, would you like a donut? Krispy Kreme.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron, could you give Tony a donut? Jeremy, I need you to do 5 sit-ups so Tony can have a donut.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now,
I just want to point something out. You can go ahead and hit it.
Paid in full.
I just want to point something out. If Jeremy doesn't do all 5 sit-ups, they don't get a donut. So, Jeremy has to do everything. He has to go all the way. He can't leave anything inside. He has to do all 5 sit-ups so they can have a donut. Stan, would you like a donut? Would you like a donut? No?
No.
Jeremy, I need you to do 5 sit-ups so Stan can have a donut he doesn't want.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Paid in full.
Debbie, would you like a donut?
Oh, yes, that's my favorite.
Jeremy, 5 sit-ups.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Paid in full.
Terry, would you like a donut? I don't think we can add sprinkles to it.
Chocolate icing? No, thanks.
Are you sure? I mean, it's right there. It's paid for.
I'll do 5 sit-ups.
You can add some stuff here, but I don't really want that.
All righty. Jeremy, 5 sit-ups. She can have a donut she doesn't want.
1, 2, 3, 4. Let's get more space in between. 5.
Paid in full.
Did you get... Okay, she didn't want a donut. Misty, would you like a donut?
I guess he's going to do the sit-ups regardless.
Aaron, could you give her a donut? Jeremy, 5 sit-ups.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Paid in full.
Dad, would you like a donut? Jeremy, 5. Wait, are you sure? I mean, he's doing them. He's doing it all for you. I mean, he's going to do it.
He's doing it all.
He's doing it whether or not, whether you accept it or not, he's still doing the sit-ups. Okay, Jeremy, 5 sit-ups.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Paid in full.
Isaac, would you like a donut? Are you sure he's going to do them?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't want
them. He's going to do them. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeremy, 5 sit-ups.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Paid in full.
All right. Thank you. You guys can sit down back here real quick. I'm done with this, but you guys can just stay up here. You can go sit down, Jeremy. Yeah, you can get a donut. The purpose of this was, I know it was kind of a funny way of putting it, but Jesus died on the cross, and he did it whether you accepted it or not. You may not have taken it, you may not have accepted his gift, but he gave you a free gift, and like I said, I mean, it was a funnier way of putting it, but whether you want to accept it, he still died for me. Whether somebody else wants to accept it, he died for you. Whether they want to tell you that you're not good enough, you're not a Christian enough, you're not nice enough, you don't come to church enough, he still died for you. And that's between you and God. That's not between anybody else but you and him. And if we could have, I don't know if the Gold Town Gospel Travelers are given the invitational, but if everybody could stand for me. And just everybody have your heads bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're already saved, maybe you don't feel like getting saved, maybe you just have something you want to pray about. If God's telling you that he wants you to pray, like I said, you know, you don't want that feeling afterwards of that kind of ripped off feeling, like where you're trying to put something else in place of what really needs to be there. If you feel like God wants you to come up and pray, if you don't have God and he's given you that gift, you just haven't accepted yet, as they sing with every head bowed and every eye closed, just come up.
When the melody's been written and the words have all been penned, and you've heard the Spirit calling through some old sacred hymn, Tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices. Eternity has two. This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. The final invitation could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroads and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices. Eternity has two. The straight and narrow way leads to life. The broad way down. To gain the world and to lose your very soul. Tomorrow is uncertain. Our days on earth are few. This life has many choices. Eternity has two. This life has many choices. Eternity has two.
Everybody keep your heads bowed, eyes closed, be with for just a second. I want to ask you this question. Nobody looking around, JR and the pastors. Here tonight and you're not saved. You've never accepted the free gift that God has to give you. But you couldn't come for some reason. JR laid it out, plain as day, powerful. You're here and you're not saved, but you just couldn't move. Just to have the pastors and JR pray for you. Slip your hand up, take it right back down. Alright, everybody look up here. Who wants one? Who wants one? If you're getting it for free, who wants? Not who would eat it, because we're all trying to lose weight, right? But who wants one? Who wants one of these fresh, hot, Krispy Kreme donuts? Whenever we get our friends and family to realize that salvation is better than this, as real as this, needful for eternity, when we get that message across to them, and they'll say, I want it. I want it. Here's what I want to do. JR laid it out there. Maybe you have somebody that you would like to see saved in this revival. That you would like to see saved before this revival ends. I'm going to ask you to come and pray for them. Don't come if you don't have somebody in mind, though. But if you have somebody in mind that you want to see take salvation, like we want to take one of these donuts, that we want to see give in to God, that we think should be tired of paying for hell when they can get heaven for free, if you have that person in mind, I invite you to come pray. pray that they will realize what JR showed us tonight, what this demonstration showed us tonight. Pray that God reveals to them soon how real this is. Just like the sound of the gavel, so will be the words depart from me. But just like the acceptance of a donut, so sweet will be the words enter in. Church, we need to pray. Somebody's mom. Somebody's dad. Somebody's son. Somebody's daughter. Somebody's brother. Somebody's sister. Somebody's best friend.
Rest.
Do you know?